flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Tailgate.
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 It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around. Down the sideline. There he goes. The most dynamic player in college football. Touchdown, Colorado.
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked. Saw it. Evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone.
It's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the tailgate 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst, your master of ceremonies. We talk football on the show. This is the home for football in Chicago. Bears football, NFL football. Don't forget, tomorrow, NFL Championship Sunday. First up, 2 o'clock, Eagles, Commanders, NFC title game. Then at 5:30, another showdown, Bills versus Chiefs. What a heavyweight championship. That's awesome. AFC Championship, doubleheader coverage, 1 o'clock on The Score and Odyssey app. The Score is your home for Super Bowl 59. Next week, I'll be heading down to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 59. Our show will be there. The tailgate will be there. But we are back. We're here to talk playoff football, maybe a little college football, the Bears coaching situation, which is, I didn't think it'd be this good, this fast in my notes. I thought it would take a little longer. The Bears offseason, there's a lot going on. I want to go back to when we started this show, our little tailgate show, 670 The Score, 7 a.m. on Saturdays back in August. So many things happened during the college football and pro football season that you can't see coming. I mean, the Bears, when they're 4-2, do you think they're going to fire their offensive coordinator and their head coach? When the when Jaden Daniels, when he was drafted, you think, oh, he's going to a 4-12 team. What are they going to do? Look where they are now. You look at the Lions. They're out of the playoffs. They've lost half their coaching staff in the past week. You thought that would be a Super Bowl team. You know, a lot going on. Next week will be in the New Orleans. But here's what's even more interesting in Chicago. Overall, we're going to get to the Bears situation, which is way better. But what a week in Chicago. In the past 9 days, if you're a Chicago sports fan, especially if you're an old school Chicago sports fan, DePaul basketball won a Big East game. It's been like 2 years. Sammy Sosa returned to the Cubs convention. I never thought that would happen. I was listening on The Score with David Haw and the guys doing the Cubs convention, and they're interviewing Sammy Sosa. That thing ramped up so fast in the past couple months. Sammy Sosa feels like a Cub again. And then, of course, the Bears hired former Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. What a week. Miracles can happen. What is 2025 we're starting with in Chicago as sports fans? And how about this as a bonus? Notre Dame had a chance to beat Ohio State. You know, a lot of Notre Dame fans in Chicago and the Chicagoland area, they had a chance to beat Ohio State. Ball late in the game. That may have been too much to ask for all four of those things to happen all at one time, but that's what happened. NFL playoff games this weekend, like I said, it's great. Commanders versus the Eagles. Commanders 12-5, Eagles 14-3. Eagles are interesting because the back half of last season, they kind of stunk. They went the wrong way. Nick Sirianni felt like he was in trouble, like he was not going to keep that job. And now they're cruising. The Saquon Barkley addition, I was like, okay, that's nice. It'll help them out a lot. But Saquon Barkley wasn't playing fantastic football last year, but he is out of hand. I mean, he's having an unbelievable season. As you know, I really would vote for him as the MVP. If you look at what the award means, Commanders, you know, if you're a Bears fan, you look at the Commanders and you got it mixed feelings. That's the quarterback that was available. We got to move on from that. We'll talk about that in a second, but the Commanders and Jaden Daniels are unbelievable. 12-5. I love Terry McLaurin, the wide receiver. The defense is decent. Their offense is pretty good, but it's all about Jaden Daniels. They brought in a new owner. In the past 2 years, the Commanders, new owner, new GM, new president, new coach, new quarterback. You're in the NFC title game. Bills versus Chiefs later on Sunday. Not a surprise at all. Everyone had those two teams in there. Some people may have had the Bengals. Some people may have had other teams like that. Bills are becoming more of a running team than a passing team. Chiefs, they are the weirdest 15-2 team of all time. They feel like they could lose every game and win every game. It feels like every game in the third quarter, the Chiefs are in danger of losing, but they do it every time. It's one of those things. As much as you might want to pick the Bills to beat the Chiefs, would you bet on it? You know, the Chiefs are giving two points, but either way, I can't bet against Patrick Mahomes. I just don't. If I'm a Bills fan, I want like a 17-point lead going into the fourth quarter. With the Bills' offense lately, I don't know if that's something they're going to do, but keep an eye on that. It's really awesome. Hey, the Tailgate Show on the Score brought to you by Homage. Ready to level up your NFL gear, Bears fans? Homage has the softest throwback apparel for Bears fans and beyond. Your favorite teams, vintage designs. Get whatever you need. Hoodies, it's cold out, it's freezing. My mom tells me it's freezing in Chicago. Head to homage.com, use code TAILGATE for 15% off your first order. HOMAGE.com, HOMAGE.com. Paul Papp, 670 The Score. Let's talk about the Bears. The Bears coaching search ended faster than I thought it would. I really thought this may go on 3 or 4 or 5 days. Here's some irony for you, by the way. Jaden Daniels knocking the Lions out of the playoffs way earlier than we thought the Lions would be out of the playoffs gave the Bears a chance to hire Ben Johnson maybe 2 or 3 weeks earlier than you would have expected. If the Lions kept going in the playoffs or the Super Bowl, Bears wouldn't be able to get their mitts on Ben Johnson for 3 or 4 weeks. And, you know, I'll take an extra month with Ben Johnson. But when that news broke on Monday, I think I was listening to Spiegel and the guys, and I was a little shocked. I saw it come to my phone. I saw the breaking news, and I was like, already? It happened already? I even was like, had Ben Johnson even been to Hallis Hall? Was this all done on Zoom? How long has this been in the works? I'm still trying to figure all that out. I was talking to Mark Rohde the other night, and he goes, he's in the same mindset that I am, that the Ben Johnson Bears marriage has been in the play for maybe longer than 3 or 4 weeks. It feels like it's almost like an inevitability after last season. But it was so quickly after the Lions lost, it's now Ben Johnson's next Bears head coach. And the reaction, it did remind me a little bit of when the Bears got Jay Cutler a long, long time ago. The savior at the quarterback position, this is the savior at the coaching position. It was a celebration. It felt like a celebration day in Chicago of sports. This is the guy we wanted. This is the guy that everybody wanted or should have wanted. Some teams didn't interview them, Cowboys. But the rumors of Johnson, here's one of the one thing about the Ben Johnson hire. It's all good now. But if you would have asked me a week ago where I thought Ben Johnson, the Lions, was going, I would have said I think it might be the Raiders. It felt like the Raiders were making moves. It felt like Tom Brady specifically, who's part owner of the Raiders and a broadcaster, which is really awkward, was into Ben Johnson, and so much so that he wasn't really uttering his name on the Fox broadcast the other day. It made me a little nervous. And that's what Bears fans and Chicago sports fans are perpetually nervous, that the other shoe is going to drop, that the hammer is going to drop out of nowhere. There was a lot of rumors about Johnson to the Raiders. Mike Florio was talking about it. A lot of people were talking about it. And then when it broke that the Bears got him, I was shocked in a way that almost like at the end of the Cubs 2016 World Series, when Chris Bryant scooped up that ball and threw it over to Rizzo, I didn't think the Cubs were going to win the World Series till that moment. I always thought the other shoe was going to drop, the Rajie Davis home run, if you remember that. Of course you do. But when it was official, I was like, official? Is this a burner account or is this Adam Schefter's real account? Ben Johnson's the next coach of the Bears. It felt like we don't get these kind of things. Chicago sports fans don't always get these kind of things, these great coaches or these great assistant coaches that everybody wants. But it just feels like such a fresh direction. The Bears got the top candidate. How will it work out? Nobody really knows. You can't control how it's going to work out. You can only make the best decision at the time. Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, the McCaskies were having a rough fall and winter. I think that would be less than an understatement. They pulled it off. They paid the money. And that's another thing. I work on the Dan Patrick Show. That's my daytime job. I was talking with Dan the other day before Ben Johnson got hired. And he and I were of the same mind. We're like, it's hard to picture the Bears spending $12-plus million on a head coach. It doesn't seem Bears-ish. But they did. They did. And here's another thing. I've never been a billionaire. I don't really know what it's like to be a billionaire. But if I was going to spend on a head coach and I was going to spend, oh, let's say $9 million for Mike McCarthy or $12.5 million for Ben Johnson, what's the difference? It's expensive either way. Do you want to spend $9 million for average results or $12.5 million to get into the Super Bowl someday? To me, that's where you make your money. I think franchises make their money by appearing in Super Bowls and upping their worth altogether if you're going to sell it someday. All right, let's get to it. The Johnson press conference the other day was fantastic. He felt sharp. He felt organized. One thing, assistant coaches in the NFL, they don't talk that much. You don't see interviews with them. You don't get them on TV that much, not maybe locally. But I don't know I've ever heard Ben Johnson speak before. not in a fashion where he was talking for minutes on end. So when he walked into that press conference the other day, and I'm listening live, watching live, I was like, what is this guy going to be like? I know what he looks like. He looks kind of like a school teacher, but what is he like? He felt sharp. He felt organized. He's not a tough guy. You know, he's not the Dan Campbell bite your kneecaps, but he also didn't feel soft or like a pushover. You know, one of the lines everyone's talking about this week is when he turned to the players, Caleb Williams and Dunze and the guys who were there, and said, get comfortable being uncomfortable. Everybody loved that. I loved that. It felt good. He's like saying, hey, I'm an organized guy. I'm a play caller guy, but I'm also your head coach and I'm the boss. And he feels like a bit of a disciplinarian. If you go back, and I'm not comparing him apples and oranges to Nick Saban, but Nick Saban was always a quiet disciplinarian. He would talk in that low tone, but then he'd put the hammer down. Or Bill Belichick, kind of a calm tone, but he'd put the hammer down. And Ben Johnson feels to me like a bit of a disciplinarian. Not the 1970s go run a lap yelling at players type of coach, but more like accountability. You don't do everything the team is asking for you, you'll be on the bench. You won't play. You'll be off the roster. One of the things was my favorite things that he said. I think we have the audio of this. He talked about players and discipline. And the line I loved was repeat offenders. Here's what he said.
The most important thing, and I've already alluded to it a couple times now, is clear communication and structure and expectation. And that's really what we're going to outline. We will set the standard in terms of what it looks like, what it should look like, what it shouldn't look like. Anytime it's not hitting that standard and that mark, it'll be us as the on us as the coaching staff to call guys out, and repeat offenders will have to continue to be made an example of.
I love it. I love made an example of repeat offenders. That works well this year. There was the one thing that felt like that was the tone of this year with the Bears and Matt Eberflus. Lack of accountability, lack of discipline, lack of direction. You could have good coaching and good play calling, but if the overall direction isn't that great, I do want to go back a few weeks. And when the Bears were interviewing 14, 15, 16 people, and there was a lot of criticism of it, I was thinking then, and I think I mentioned it to maybe to Matt Spiegel when we were texting back and forth, any chance the Bears know they have Ben Johnson or feel strongly they have Ben Johnson, and all these Zoom interviews of head coaches were a master plan of, well, it's a backup plan, of course, to interview many people, but to do exactly what people in the media and Bears fans wanted a year ago, interview everybody, interview as many people as you can, get information from all these candidates on the Bears roster, on the Bears offense, on the Bears franchise, glean information from all these job interviews with all these different people, Mike McCarthy, whoever it may be, and then get your guy in Ben Johnson. And the one criticism of the Bears last year, the last coaching search, you never talked to Harbaugh. You never talked to Belichick. And I think that rang true with Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren. We better make sure we look at every option. Now, there was some criticism. Oh, you're interviewing 14 guys. I work on a national sports radio show, The Dan Patrick Show, and there's criticism of the Bears overall. You're not flying these people in. It's all Zoom. You're interviewing 120 guys. No, maybe the plan was to look at everything. Maybe look at some of these people for an assistant coaching job. Maybe Ben Johnson goes the other way because the Raiders offer him way more. You'd have to have a backup plan. I thought it was thorough. It seemed to be more positive, more professional than it had been in the past. One thing with the Bears and their fans I do want to get into with all this positivity is you're watching the playoffs right now with Jaden Daniels, the quarterback of the Commanders, and he's still deep in the playoffs. He's having a fantastic rookie season. You can say he's having the best rookie season of any quarterback all time. Now, Cam Newton had a great rookie season. I mean, guys like Roethlisberger and Russell Wilson and, you know, different guys like that. But this is different. He took a 4-12 team and brought them to the brink of the Super Bowl. I'm not going to give my pick yet. But Jaden Daniels, he also looks fantastic. He looks unflappable. He looks cool under pressure, which is the biggest thing you want. So Johnson, if you look at what Jaden Daniels is doing right now, you have to take a breath and take a pause and not overcompare Caleb Williams to Jaden Daniels. It's not healthy. Jaden Daniels is out of hand. His rookie year is an anomaly. It kind of hits with Bears fans. Like, there's a lot of national people saying, did the Bears get it wrong by taking Caleb Williams instead of Jaden Daniels, which is hindsight. If you said that a year ago in April, then I'd agree with you or you'd have a point. But it's easy to say now. It's a cheap shot. I think Bears fans going forward and now have to kind of ignore Jaden Daniels' rookie year. It's so off the charts. You have to ignore it like an anomaly. You have to look at Caleb Williams and whatever he did or you think he didn't do this year with his development on its own, and it's tough to do. Now to Caleb Williams. We're still really early in his career. 1 year that was up and down. There were some really good games. There were some really good fourth quarters. There wasn't enough of them. There wasn't enough complete games. Now he has a top offensive mind in Ben Johnson. They know what they have to do to surround him. If they don't know, that's nuts. Offensive line, running game. The running game is good. You got, don't spend on running backs. You got receivers all day. Build on both lines of the ball, both sides of the ball. Build on the defensive line and the offensive line, like the Eagles did a few years ago. The Eagles always spend and draft on the offensive and defensive line. Jalen Carter, all their offensive linemen, Lane Johnson. Look at the Eagles. You plug in Saquon Barkley, he goes for 2,000 yards. He's not running for 2,000 yards because just because he's awesome. It's because the Eagles spend and focus on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Also, I love Ben Johnson is calling the plays. There are no layers between him and Caleb. It's a direct relationship on the field and off the field. Here's what Caleb Williams had to say when he was at the Ben Johnson press conference.
I think the structure. So we talked about the structure. We talked about he's a no nonsense guy, but he'll always have my back, always have the support, always give me support. And so that was one of them, was the structure, the no nonsense, holding me accountable, and us two being on the same wavelength. You know, him being obviously all the way at the helm of it, and him being the head coach, and then me being the quarterback. You know, me being accountable, me, you know, being on the right time, right page, you know, on the field, and doing those things right, doing everything right, and then you know, from there, being able to hold everybody, you know, accountable, from my space to, and me being quarterback. Back to him being the head coach, and us being on the same wavelength, like I talked about, is really important, because then, you know, when you get to be able to be on the same wavelength with your OC / head coach now, or not OC, but play caller and head coach, and you know, the way that we go about our business, the competitive fire that we have, the discipline that we have towards each other, the accountability that we have towards each other, that was another big part, was being able to, you know, he said he's going to hold me accountable, and he's like, I want you to hold me accountable for a multitude of things. And, you know, we talked about other things, and you know, about, you know, my play, about what he's excited about, and what he's, you know, what he wants to change and correct, and if not change and correct, but just better.
Caleb really knows how to talk to the media. He looked fantastic, by the way, in that leather jacket at the Ben Johnson press conference at Hallis Hall the other day. All right, this is 670 The Score. I am Paul Papps. This is The Tailgate. Lots of football coming up. Danny Parkins, former Score host, will be joining us at 10 minutes. That's a great guy. We love him. He'll be joining us to talk about the Bears and all things playoffs. And also, Lawrence Holmes, Remy Martin at Binney's in Orland Park. My mom lives in Orland Park. I'm going to have her go by today from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Register for your chance to play hoops on the Court of Dreams at the United Center. Can I do that? You know, on February 22nd, Remy Martin, Team Up for Excellence, Lawrence Holmes and the guys, Orland Park today, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Let's get back to the NFL playoffs. It's been a fun playoffs, an unpredictable playoffs, somewhat predictable. That, you know, last weekend, the Chiefs handled the Texans. Texans are a good team. I think they're very threatening going forward. They got to get healthy. Their wide receivers, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs were out. That really hurt them, but they're a very threatening team. The Commanders' shock of the Lions, I don't think anybody picked it. The Lions were just rolling. Their defense was up and down. They had a good couple good games late in the season, but the Aiden Hutchinson loss was terrible. But their offense, you didn't think they would no-show on offense. You didn't think Jared Goff would make big mistakes in a tight situation. He's done it before. But the Commanders, they hit the gas on the Lions and never let up. And that's got to be a shocker. I'm going to get back to that in a second. The Eagles last weekend, they hold off the Rams, barely. The Rams had the ball, down six, driving. The Rams could easily be hosting the NFC title game. As much as it feels great for the Eagles, they dodged a big bullet. Bills, Ravens, great the entire way. Lamar Jackson moving the ball up and down the field last weekend. The Ravens, though, made just enough mistakes to bow out again. The Bills didn't play great on either side of the ball. They played good, and they avoided mistakes. I want to go back to the Lions for a second, because as a Chicago sports fan, a Bears, Cubs, et al. Sports fan, I know about pain. I'm aware about pain. The Lions' loss this year is about as painful as it gets. They were super close to the Super Bowl last year. They were two quarters away from being in the Super Bowl last year, and they should have been there. That was painful. But then this season, everything's cooking. You're rolling. You know, the NFC was a little tough. You know, the Bears were, you know, a little problem early. The Vikings, big problem. The Packers are always a big problem. But they kind of hit their stride, the Lions. You think, this is the year. You get close to the Super Bowl, and the next year you win it. Remember the Bulls back in the day? They couldn't get over the hump with the Pistons, and they finally did. That's what it felt like to me for the Lions this year. Like, They're going. This is the year they're going. No excuses. You got Amon-Ra St. Brown. You got Jahmyr Gibbs, a fantastic running back. Goff is like a B-plus quarterback, but that's all you need. But if I'm a Lions fan, you lost last year. Then you lose this year when you think, oh, we're going to the Super Bowl. Oh, we're going to fly down to New Orleans. Let's go. It's cold up here. Let's go to New Orleans for a few days. I bet Lions fans have tickets to New Orleans, a lot of them. Then after the loss, which is painful, you lose both coordinators, your offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. They're losing assistant coaches as we speak, probably another one before this segment's over. It's going to be a really long offseason in Detroit, a painful offseason. And Dan Campbell's going to have to regroup. They have to bring in new coaches, but they have a lot of talent on that roster. They should still be a favorite next year, but that is high-level pain, high-level pain. Commanders, Eagles tomorrow, Bills, Chiefs tomorrow. One more issue before we get into college football. We got Danny Parkins, FS1 host, coming up in about 5 minutes on The Score. I'm Paul Papp, 670 The Score. The Chiefs' favoritism in the flags with Mahomes. It's interesting because star power gets the refs on your side. You could go back to the Michael Jordan era. Everyone complained that Michael Jordan got all the calls. He seemed to get a lot of calls. The math is there that the Chiefs get a lot of calls at home. And Mahomes knows how to sell it. He knows how to work the refs. He knows how to bait the refs. He knows how to go out of bounds and get hit and flop a little bit. He's seen the NBA over the past 20 years. He's seen soccer. So that's a real story. We'll keep an eye on that. But up next, let's get to some more college football, some more NFL, some more Bears. We'll be joined by my guy, our guy, former Score host, FS1 host, Danny Parkins. This is The Tailgate. I'm Paul Papps, 670 The Score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
New Bears head coach Ben Johnson joined the Mully and Haw show to talk Bears.
The new Bears head coach Ben Johnson.
We assume that a guy can't be both an offensive guru and the quote leader of men.
Yeah, listen, I'm beyond confident that I'm ready for this. I think I've shown over the course of my career I can morph and I can blend into whatever the job requires. So yeah, it's a different deal going forward, and it's one that I'm really looking forward to.
Hear Ben Johnson's entire interview with Mully and Haw at 670thescore.com and the Odyssey app.
You're listening to Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti, locally here on 670 The Score in Chicago. Kickoff with Boomer Esiason and Mike Valenti is presented locally by ESPN Bet Sportsbook.
Golf Mill Ford's rocking the new year with 1.9 for 66 months plus $2,000 bonus cash on new Escapes, or get $12,000 off F-150s, and you won't make a payment till April at Illinois' largest Ford dealer, Golf Mill Ford in Niles.
The action is heating up this playoff season at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Lock in your touchdown pick, check out trending parlays, and increase your winnings with Profit Boost. New customers can get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. And unlock 30 days of ESPN Plus. Download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app and sign up with the promo code RADIO to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Counseling resources available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with Hollywood Casino Aurora. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Papst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
back on the tailgate, 6-7 The Score. I am Paul Papps. Football, love it, love it, love it. Danny Parkins, former Score host, FS1 host now, will be on the show in about 3 or 4 minutes. But let's get to some college football. Long college football season, really fun. The 12-team playoff, some people loved it, some people didn't love it. Some people didn't love the blowouts. The ratings for the national title game, not so great. I have some ideas on that. But let's recap the college football national title game. Notre Dame versus Ohio State. Notre Dame, really interesting season. You know, really physical team, better than they were 4 or 5 years ago, even with Brian Kelly at his peak. Marcus Freeman has them rolling. Remember the loss? We talked about it. I think we had Ethan Hampton of Northern Illinois on this show, The Tailgate, about 4 months ago, and NIU took down Notre Dame, a legendary win in the Northern Illinois community. But Notre Dame righted the ship. They got it together. They rolled through the rest of the season. They rolled through the playoffs. They looked fantastic. Running game, defense. Let's go to the national title game. Notre Dame, Ohio State. The opening drive by Notre Dame was fantastic. Drove down the field, 9-minute drive. But then Ohio State got the ball back. And Ohio State, after that Michigan loss, has been a juggernaut, just rolling. Ohio State had 5 straight scores on Notre Dame, and it felt like a jailbreak. Notre Dame did make it real interesting in the fourth quarter. No dice. Couldn't do it. But look at Ryan Day, the head coach of Ohio State. 8 weeks ago, his career was in rough shape after the loss to Michigan, that shocking loss. And now he's got a national title. It's that monkey off his back. Remember Steve Young when he filled in for Joe Montana and finally got his Super Bowl? He did the actual take the monkey off the back move. That's Ryan Day right now with Ohio State. You know, the state of college football we'll get to in a second, but the state of Notre Dame football. On the Dan Patrick Show, we discussed this the past couple weeks. Notre Dame is likable nationally. Marcus Freeman's a likable coach. Notre Dame is a likable franchise program. They still have some old schoolness to them in this new schoolness of college football. You know, Notre Dame in the past was like Duke or the Yankees, and a lot of people around the country would not like them. But they're not the bully they were a generation ago. They are in great shape as a franchise. They'll find a quarterback going forward. They got Sam Hartman a couple years ago. They got him out of Wake Forest. They got Riley Leonard out of Duke last year. This is the new thing in college football. You can recruit an 18-year-old, 17, 18-year-old to be your next quarterback in college football and get a 5-star, but it's a lot easier to get a 22-year-old who's played 40 games at Duke like Riley Leonard. And if you're waiting for Notre Dame, by the way, to join a conference, don't hold your breath. They keep every dime of the playoff money they made over the past 5 weeks, every dime of it. They will not, should not ever join a conference. They control everything around their program. They control their TV partner in NBC. They get all that money. They don't share it with a bunch of other teams. They control their schedule, which makes it easier or more streamlined to get in the playoffs every year. They control everything. That's where Notre Dame football is. College football overall, there's some changes that need to be made. The transfer portal is a mess. You can't keep track of who's on what team. I would think the college football playoff, having a game on a Monday night, I don't think that's right. You got to have a nice national title game Saturday night, 7 o'clock Chicago time, where everybody can watch, everyone can stay up late, and you don't have to get up early the next morning. That's that. All right, you're listening to The Score, 6-7 The Score. I am Paul Papps. This is The Tailgate. We talk football every week, 7 a.m. Joining us now on The Tailgate, one of your hosts for The Breakfast Ball on FS1. Very fun show, where he always reps Chicago sports. Former Score host, he's Danny Parkins. Danny, great to have you on the show, so let's go to it. A week ago, what was your level of optimism that the Bears would actually get Ben Johnson from the Lions?
Cautiously optimistic, but realistically cynical, because it was the obvious hire. He was the clear best candidate on the board. He was the clear best fit for Caleb Williams. He has the clear highest ceiling, young, offensive guy, knows the team, knows the division, play caller. All of the checks every box you could want except for head coaching experience. And I can't point to multiple quarterback success stories, but every guy that you can point to multiple coaching, like quarterback success stories, they're all head coaches. Like, oh, well, Kyle Shanahan, he did it with Matt Ryan as a coordinator. And then with Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy came as a head coach, yep. Right? You don't get multiple quarterback success stories as a coordinator, because you get a head coaching job before that opportunity ever comes around.
I think a lot of people, he was the best candidate available. Yeah, I think a lot of people felt the same as you were. I thought there was a little bit of a wild card with the Raiders and Brady. And the more he didn't talk about Ben Johnson, the more real I thought it was with the Raiders. And then the Raiders get rid of their GM. I was like, oh, it was making my bear self nervous. Okay, the Lions lose. Less than 48 hours later, the story breaks that Ben Johnson's the next coach. It was sudden. It was almost a little bit early in the process for me. How shocked were you when you got that on your phone?
It felt fast. I mean, he didn't even like meet the parents. he didn't go to Hallis Hall. He did all of it over Zoom. That is crazy. Like, they're paying this guy mid eight figures a year. He's moving a wife and young kids, and he like hasn't seen the real estate market. He hasn't talked about the schools. Like, I don't know what kind of marriage Ben Johnson has, but it's a little bit more trusting than mine. Like that was fast. I get why the Bears wanted to move fast. I'm a little surprised he moved as fast as he did.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. And when it happened so fast, it was like almost too fast. I expected to be drug out, or there'd be a report that he's likely going blank or blank. You know, the one thing I did think when they got him was, this is a drastic change from the Bears' perception of spending money, of making the right decisions, of fumbling things. I listen to The Score all the time. I know you do too. David Hall was saying, it's hard to picture them pulling this off. And when they did, and you heard about the numbers, does that give you a boost for the Bears going forward overall, beyond just the head coach?
I think that you have to give George McCaskey, Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren, I think you have to give them credit for nailing this. I thought an underrated moment from the press conference was Ben Johnson said that he made the decision to go back to Detroit last year, maybe mm-hmm. a little quick and based on emotion, because it was so painful to lose in the NFC Championship game. I would be fascinated to get some follow-up on that. Like, did he regret it? Like, did he regret it? Did he, you know, because they advanced further in the playoffs, they lost by three, and he's like, this is unfinished business, I have to go back. But, and I don't know if that's fueled by how good Jaden Daniels was and the fact that they're in the NFC Championship game last year, because obviously it's been well reported he could have had that job last year. But I wonder if the Bears also, they deserve credit, obviously.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they just got a little lucky that he wanted to win a Super Bowl in Detroit, so he passed up jobs last year. And it sounded like he had predetermined that he was taking a job this year. And the Bears job clearly was the best of the jobs available between the Jaguars, the Raiders, the Cowboys, the Saints, and the Jets.
Danny Parkins, former employee of The Score on the Tailgate 670 The Score, Breakfast Ball, FS1, every morning. Make sure you watch it. Let me get to another angle of this. You know, sometimes they talk about winning the press conference and having that fire, like a Mike Vrabel, where it's like a tough guy who played the sport. Ben Johnson played the sport a little bit in college. He doesn't come off as that tough guy, rah-rah thing, but he comes off wicked smart. And I think I maybe would prefer wicked smart over tough guy, maybe a hard-hitting, old-school head coach. What did you make of the press conference? His tone, I guess we'd say.
I thought that he came across tough enough. I thought that the moment where he like looked at Caleb Williams, DJ Moore, and the other players that were in the front row and said, you better get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't, I'm going to bite your kneecaps. But that was tough. Like, you could see a Dan Campbell influence from there. So I think you have to be tough enough and a good enough speaker to command a room. But maybe this is my own bias. I will take smart over everything. Yep. Over everything. Yep. Like, because it's the thing that is most sustainable. I think that the tough run through a wall, like, that message can wear thin over time, right? It drowns out. Theo Epstein used to famously say that you needed a leadership change every 10 years at maximum, just because people will begin to tune out the same message. But smart stays. Like, smart ages. You could be smart at 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. Like, if you're smart, you're smart. So I will take smart over just about anything.
Okay. On your show, The Breakfast Ball, you sometimes are the voice of Chicago on that show. I think that's on purpose. I think it's a smart move for you. Do you find yourself this year on your show with your co-host not defending Caleb Williams and the Bears' decision to take him, but more like contextualizing it and putting it in perspective? Because right now, stay with me here, everything Caleb Williams does is under the cloud of Jaden Daniels. So it's not looked at as a standalone.
And that is unavoidable. And it's deserved. It should be. Jaden Daniels, if they're running a race, he's way out in front.
Right.
Like, he is way out in front. And the Bears, and I defended it at the time, so I had to be consistent on this. Like, they didn't do, they interviewed him at the combine, but they did not bring Jaden Daniels in for the full day, full song and dance. We're going to do the 6-hour workout. You know, like, they zeroed in, and they said through the combine and the film work, Caleb Williams was a cut above everyone else. And I said, that I was okay with that because they had the number one pick, and you should base most of it off of film work.
Right.
Like that to me, like, it was different when it was the Mahomes year because they had the third pick. They traded up to two. We knew Myles Garrett was going one, but they did the full thing with Trubisky and Mahomes and didn't do it with Watson. And it was basically the same logic. They're like, we know we're getting one of these two guys at three because Myles Garrett's going one. So they didn't feel like they needed to do the full investigation of Deshaun Watson, but they at least didn't know who they were going to get between Mitch and Mahomes until the trade happens. In this version of events, they said based on their film work that Drake May wasn't worth bringing in.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels wasn't, because the film told them that Caleb was the best guy. So I'm okay with their process, but it's a results-oriented business, and Jaden Daniels, to this point, is much, 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 much better. So call it contextualizing or whatever you want. I don't find any of it to be unfair because Jaden Daniels is in the NFC Championship game.
Danny Parkins, Breakfast Ball, FS1, used to work at The Score. Join us now on the Tailgate 670 The Score. I want to talk about the NFL playoffs coming up later today and Sunday. When you look at the Chiefs, they're a different Chiefs team than just 5 years ago. But is Mahomes, in your mind, and it's an easy comparison to Michael Jordan where you can't not trust him. It doesn't matter what it looks like in the regular season. You just have this overwhelming trust. I call it the Nick Wright level of trust of Mahomes, which is fanatical, but it's actually fair because there's nothing Mahomes has done to make you doubt him. Maybe in the regular season, maybe the stats aren't pretty, but where do you look at Mahomes right now, his team right now, and their chances going forward?
Nick Wright, my best friend in the world, but what a brilliant career move. Basically just being like, I'm going to memorize LeBron James's basketball reference page, yeah, and then say that Patrick Mahomes, his hometown team's quarterback, is the best of all time, and then have him just keep winning Super Bowls. Like, he'd be very, very, very successful without either of those two guys, but that's helped.
Sure has.
Mahomes deserves the benefit of the doubt. Like, tie goes to the runner in Little League Baseball. Like, I think Bills Chiefs is as close as a football game can be. These two quarterbacks, frankly, are as close as they can be. Like, and since they've entered the league, Josh Allen is one or two in every quarterback category that you care about, and Mahomes is one or two. They're 4-4 heads up against each other. Obviously, Allen's 0-3 in the playoffs against Mahomes, but Allen has beaten Mahomes four times. Their team's point differential this year, they both outscored their opponents by 157 points in the regular season. Like, these things are as close as possibly can get. So I think it is fair to then say, I'll give the slight edge to the team that keeps winning Super Bowls and is at home. Like, I think that's a totally reasonable amount of analysis for this game.
I don't bet, but if I bet, it's hard to bet against Mahomes. I'm at that point where I would never put any money against it, which means that's what the true choice of what you think of a player is. If you wouldn't put a week's pay, that's what you really think of them. Okay, on your show,
especially your week's pay.
Oh, they're not kidding. That's, you don't get a house like that. All right, moving on. The art of debate. The art of debate on your show. You've been doing this for years on radio. You do it on TV. And there are different debate shows for me that go a little over the top in the tone of argument and anger. Your show doesn't. You have a good time and you have good, healthy arguments. How do you balance an argument where you really are maybe a little sports upset rather than actually upset?
Well, the amount that I actually get actually upset over sports, like in my adult life, I think I can count on one hand. Like, when you have like real things happen in your life, good or bad, whether it be like life or death, or literally life or death, right? Circle of life events, the sports stuff all becomes fairly immaterial. And we don't even like, we don't look at ourselves as a debate show. Like, Carton's a radio guy. Schlereth is a radio guy. I'm a radio guy.
Like, it really is a radio show on TV, just like the Dan Patrick Show is a five guys in a bar, remove the language, bring them upstairs and put some mics in front of them. That's why, one of the reasons I like your show.
That's how we think about it. We do not think about it that way. You know, everything is amplified. It's television. It's entertainment. There's no doubt about it, right? I happen to like sports debate. There's some sort of like negative connotation with it because of like embrace debate and like people think it's contrived. But like, so for example, I thought the Vikings were overrated, overhyped, and Craig really believed in it. So did we like do a few more Vikings topics than we otherwise would have? Yes. But his belief, But his belief in the Vikings was genuine, and my disbelief in the Vikings was genuine. And then it led to this great moment in the playoffs where I ended up being proven correct. But it was, it was a thing. I'll just throw it out in there in case anyone doesn't remember what happened. I think producing to natural, genuine disagreement is different than contrived debate. And so that's where we draw the line.
I completely agree with you. On the Dan Patrick Show, what we do, and any show I'd work on, where we have talks in our morning meeting, and as soon as a debate or argument stokes up, I put my hand up like a crossing guard telling everyone to stop. I'm like, save it for the show. We're all set. Yet natural argument with no cameras on means you're on to something. Before we let you go, I know you got to run.
Sure.
The Chicago restaurant you missed the most.
Oh, man.
I should have given you a heads up. If you can pick multiple because you're on.
No, it's fine. It's man. So, like, obviously, shout out Joe Flam. I got to get to the new spot. Rosemary's amazing, obviously. La Scarola, little cliche. You know, I miss a breakfast Loretta. I miss a bacon Loretta at Sarkey's. I'd meet my sister there out there in Evanston on Grosse Pointe Road and get some breakfast. And I know it's not Chicago, but it's a Chicago institution. People know Sarkey's Cafe. So there's a lot of sentimentality for me there. God, there's so many good ones, man. There's so many good ones. I miss Chicago every day. I really do.
I'm in the same boat with you. I've been on the East Coast a long time. And whenever I go back, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. There's 8 different pizza places within a block. There's an Italian beef place in 3 blocks. There's a hot dog place 4 blocks. You don't – the variety – that's the one thing. You've been in New York for a little bit now. I don't know if New York has the – it's weird to say the level of variety that Chicago has of cultural food. It's close.
New York's pretty good food, man. Honest, I'm out in the burbs now, but I work here in the city every day, and like the middle of my day is wide open, and I was out here for a few months without my family living in a corporate apartment in the city. I gotta say, the restaurants in New York are pretty good. I have ate very, and the thing that New York has that Chicago really doesn't is the bodega culture.
Just
the bodega on the corner by our store, like the guys who I work with make fun of me. I'm like, that's a great pastrami sandwich. They're like, it's not. I'm like, it absolutely is. It's like a place that you would get a Snapple and a pack of gum and a pack of cigarettes. And it has like 75 excellent sandwiches also.
Right.
Like, in the New York City culture is pretty awesome.
For those listening to the tailgate in Chicago right now, you could walk 3 blocks in any direction, get a bacon, egg, and cheese any time of day in New York City.
And it's excellent. And like everything in New York is crazy expensive, except if you go into a place that it looks like they like deal weed out of the back and are like, can I have a Reuben? And it's ready for you in like 4 minutes and it's $8 and it's excellent. So that's a pretty great thing about New York.
Great to have you on the show. Breakfast Ball FS1. Thanks for coming back on.
Anytime, Paul.
I'm telling you, Danny and I could have done another 20 minutes on Chicago versus New York food. I've lived in both places. It's very different. The neighborhoods are very different. Chicago has a different tone of food than New York does. New York has a lot of pizza places, but they're almost all slices. It's hard to find like pizza places where you can sit down and get a pizza. Chicago, it's different. It's much more sit-down Chicago pizza places. You can get slices. There's lots of places you can, but much more sit-down, deep dish, pub-style, thin crust pizza. All right. We got a lot to get to. Don't forget this tailgate on the score brought to you by Homage. Go to homage.com. It's hoodie season. It's not actually hoodie season. I think it's winter still, but it's hoodie season. You want to get cozy and watch football tomorrow? Go to homage.com. Use the code tailgate for 15% off your first order. Some exclusions apply. I don't know what they are, but they apply. HOMAGE, pay homage. Before we break, I do want to talk a little bit about the Bears. And when you talk about the Bears, you have to talk about the NFC North, because the NFC North is so strong now. They don't exist in a vacuum. Let's look at the Lions really quick. I think the Lions are going to be fine, but it feels bad now, losing a bunch of coaches. But they didn't lose Amon-Ra St. Brown. They didn't lose Penei Sewell, their all-pro lineman. They didn't lose Aiden Hutchinson. He'll be back next year. They didn't lose their head coach. The Lions should be fine. And when I say should be, it's because I said the same thing about the San Francisco 49ers. They're going to be in the playoffs, deep in the playoffs this year. Injuries do happen. Can't control that. The Niners, people expected to be in the NFC title game against the Lions. They were the favorites. The Vikings. The Vikings are interesting. Get to them in a second. The Packers are good, not great, and definitely not below average. Jordan Love feels like a good quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be a great quarterback. I was on the Love train early, and I thought he was really good last year. But it feels like, I'm not going to say this yet, we may have seen his best. Not that he can't get better, but I don't know if he's a Joe Burrow type. You know, I'm not sure. Packers are going to be good. They're going to be fine. They've got talent on the roster. I do want to get to the Lions or for the Vikings for a second. The Vikings start out the season losing J.J. McCarthy, the rookie out of Michigan. Sam Darnold tears it up, has a great season. Didn't finish that well with Sam Darnold. But Sam Darnold, at age 27 for the Vikings, he's a free agent, a true free agent. The Vikings have, I don't know if I call it a problem as a, in a good way or a problem in the bad way with the Vikings. They have a quarterback waiting, J.J. McCarthy, kind of like Jordan Love a few years ago when they had Aaron Rodgers. But Sam Darnold's not Aaron Rodgers of 4 years ago. Sam Darnold might be a B-level quarterback who overplayed this season. Or he could be the smart move for the future of that franchise. The Vikings could look at Sam Darnold and they have two options. Or they have three options. They could just let him go, which would be kind of nuts. They could franchise tag him for 1 year, and I think that would pay him $48 million. Which, while that sounds like a lot of money, it is. I just checked. It's also a one-year commitment to him. You're not paying him 4 years, $150 million. The other thing they could do is give him one of those mid-level Baker Mayfield type deals where it's like 3 years, $100 million, $33 million a year. While that sounds like a truckload of dough, it actually is mid-level for a starting quarterback in the NFL that you really believe in. You're not paying him $55 million like Trevor Lawrence. How's that look right now? You're not paying him $50 million Kyler Murray out in Arizona. How's that looking right now? So the Vikings are in a position where they have lots of options at quarterback, but they have to make the best one. Sam Darnold, one other thing with him, keep an eye on the Raiders. Keep an eye on the Raiders for a home for him. Tom Brady's in charge out there. Pete Carroll's in charge out there. The USC connection, that's kind of easy. I also think Aaron Rodgers could be in play for the Raiders. Keep an eye on that. A lot to get to. Coming up next, it's our Pub and Grub of the Week. My football weekend predictions for the Sunday games. The Bears fan morale meter is back. And more on the Bears offseason. This is the Tailgate, 670 The Score.
We're back with more of the Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
You're supposed to be a professional.
We'll work harder than anybody to win. But man, when we're dead tired in the fourth quarter, winning's got to mean more than just money.
You're hired to do a job.
Job! Job! I don't want no job. I want to play football. I want some feeling. I want some team spirit.
This ain't no high school. You don't have to love each other to play.
It's just what I mean, you bastard. Every time I call it a game, you call it a business. And every time I call it a business, you call it a game.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on 670 The Score, this is the Tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst. Great to be with you another Saturday morning. Every Saturday morning, 7 a.m., we get this show done. A lot of football, a lot to get to. By the way, people ask, what are the clips you guys play? Chris sets up these clips with great movie clips. That was from a movie called North Dallas 40. You may not know it if you're under a certain age, but North Dallas 40 is a great football movie. Maybe my number one of all time. It's a 70s, late 70s movie with Nick Nolte. Mac Davis, who's like a country singer, played the quarterback. And they had real football players in this movie. It's kind of hardcore. It's like real football. So if we want to do a whole show, by the way, Richard Roper and I want to do a whole show about football movies. North Dallas 40 probably has not been seen by most of you. If you can find North Dallas 40, check it out. It's really good. It's really great. There's some good football movies. There's some bad ones. We talk about like The Program, Any Given Sunday. We could do an entire hour on football movies. I would love to do an hour on football movies. There's some bad ones out there. I remember one time I used to work at ESPN. And we took a little class field trip, a bunch of ESPNers. We were on the road. I used to work on College Game Day. And I'm going to name drop here. I was out working with Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit, and all the guys. And a bunch of us, like nine of us, went to see Remember the Titans. We walked out of Remember the Titans. We were like running down the field. We're running down the street. Kirk Herbstreit walks out of there. I think he may have been choked up. He goes, that's the best movie I've ever seen. And I said, football movie? He goes, no. Movie. All right, let's get to it. 670 The Score. I'm Paul Pabst. Let's do our Pub and Grub of the Week. We do it every week on the Tailgate. I used to live in New Haven, Connecticut, a pizza hotbed. If you haven't been there, I'm not saying it's better or worse than Chicago pizza. You know I love Chicago pizza. It's fantastic, though. There's a place I recently went to not too long ago called Peace Brewery in Wicker Park. New Haven-style pizza, house beer, and TVs. That's all Paulie Pabst needs. You give me those three things, I don't need anything else. Check it out. 1927 West North Avenue in Wicker Park, Peace Brewery. Another interesting thing about this week is this is the kind of week, if you're a Bears fan, where you get texts from all your old buddies. When Ben Johnson got hired, I was getting texts from like dudes I knew from eighth grade, friends from Marion Catholic High School in Southern Illinois. We got him. We got him. It was the most weird thing. It was a celebration. This has been a wild week. I've been listening to the Score all week, and it's interesting to see how day by day it hasn't cooled off, because as Ben Johnson gets here and he starts bringing in more people and bringing in assistant coaches, it's going to feel better and better. And then you get to free agency, then you get to the draft. Everyone knows the direction the Bears have to take. offense and defensive line, rinse and repeat. One more thing on the Bears. I like to be a brake pumper, a guy who's moderate and urges caution on the tailgate show. Measure your expectations. I was going to tell you to measure your expectations with Ben Johnson, the Bears next year. Forget that. We got burned this year when the Bears were 4-2 and you come back from London, you think we're going to the playoffs. The Bears are going to the playoffs. That was not reasonable because mostly the offensive line issues to me, but there's no reason not to win now, not to build for now and not 3 years. Look at the Lions, where they are, where they were a couple years ago with Dan Campbell. Look at the Commanders, 4 wins last year. They're 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback. They redid that whole franchise from top to bottom, literally. Owner, GM, president, head coach, quarterback, deep in the playoffs. You know, owner, I don't think that's changing in time with the Bears. Who knows? But look at how fast the Bengals got to the Super Bowl after they got Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. It was quick. It was really quick. Now the Bears have an offensive-minded head coach who's also calling the plays. Is the NFC North tough? Yeah, it's tough. Nothing you can do about it. But the Vikings won 13 games last year after losing their quarterback. And Sam Darnold's good. He's not Patrick Mahomes. One other thing I do want to mention about the Bears is, if you notice right after the press conference, the topic of the Bears' new stadium came right back up again, bubbled back up again. I said on this show all year, I don't want to hear no more. What am I? Come on, Paul. Southern Illinois. I don't want to hear any more stadium talk until you make the playoffs. But now when you hire Ben Johnson, everyone's in a good mood. It's euphoric. The Ben Johnson era is here. Uh-huh. Now is when you can bring up the topic of a new stadium again, and people aren't going to complain. Arlington Heights or the city, I'm going to get into that. You know where I lean, city. But the stadium push, Kevin Warren and the guys, they're going to bring that up again and get it going now, because you roll when there's good PR. When you have good PR, that's when you ask for something. That's when you push for something. And Kevin Warren's smart. He knows that the Bears are having a great week perception-wise. Front office, owner, GM, everybody. This is when you bring that topic up again. Time for the Bears morale meter. We do it every week on this show. When we last left you, I think it was after the Green Bay game. I think it was at like 2.3, 2.4, even though they beat Green Bay, the Bears. But after the coaching search, which wrapped up so quickly, getting Ben Johnson, the guy everybody wanted, quickly, the offseason off to a fantastic start. It couldn't be better. Now you got free agency in the draft. We talked about both sides of the line, but I'm setting the morale meter at a crazy 7.7. It won't go over 8, not yet. I'm going to calm down just a little bit. But this is a team that made a huge decision, spent a lot of money on the right coach at the right time, and now it needs to build on both sides of the ball, period. AFC-NFC title games tomorrow. You can hear them right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. Commanders versus Eagles, 2 o'clock on Fox. Philadelphia's given 6. I'm actually picking the Commanders. I know that flies in the face of all things this year. The Commanders did not look good against the Eagles this time, a couple times this year. But they are crazy hot. Crazy hot. And I didn't see them beating the Lions. I think they could do the same to the Eagles. Jalen Hurts of the Eagles, he's a little roughed up. His knee's having a problem. If he somehow can't make it back, I like them. Bills versus Chiefs. I'm going with the Bills because Josh Allen's playing mistake-free football. That's going to come back to bite me, I'm sure. Robbie and Alex, grab that clip for next week when he has a couple interceptions. But that's where we are right now. I'm picking the Bills over the Chiefs and the Commanders over the Eagles. You can throw that in my face next week. Who knows what happens, but let's enjoy some football tomorrow. Let's enjoy some couch time. Tune in on The Score. Tune in on CBS or Fox to watch the games. But that's it. That's the tailgate for this week. What a week in Chicago. Let's recap. The Paul wins a Big East game. Sammy Sosa back with the Cubs. Notre Dame in the national title game, and the Cubs have Ben Johnson. Let's enjoy 2025. It's off to a great start. I'm Paulie positive right now. The coach is in place. That's the good news. The bad news is we're running out of football games. We have 3 NFL games left in this month and next month, and that's it. I don't even want to think about it. We're excited. The Tailgate Show will be in New Orleans next week, the next couple weeks, but we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening to Tailgate. Thanks for enjoying the show. Enjoy the football tomorrow. I'm Paul Papps. This is 670 The Score. Take care.
Bears.